Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Terrorist envy, the new psychosis. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist. Well, you've heard of penis envy, I hope. That was Freud's definition of one of the stages of psychosexual development of little girls who are 3 to 5 years old. He says that, or said that when they were in this stage, the phallic stage, and the little girls realized that they didn't have a penis when, you know, it was the time of I'll show you mine if you show me yours, that had a psychological impact on them. Basically, it had to do with women wanting power like little boys and men. So terrorist envy, the new psychosis, that doesn't have, well, I was going to say that doesn't have anything to do with penises, but actually, in a sense, it does, because penis represents power, phallic power, and terrorists represent power. So who has the new psychosis? Who are the, this is going to be a new DSM-5 diagnosis. Probably not, but I would recommend it. This is serious. I mean, I'm using that term, terrorist envy, to refer a psychosis to refer to the pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas protesters. Now, they are out of control. They are psychotic, basically, because they are. You know, there's on the one end, you could just say they're ill-informed or ignorant. On the other end, you could say they're psychotic. They are so desirous of becoming terrorists themselves. And they are, in fact, I think I've talked about this in one of my previous podcasts. Not a youth rebellion, a jihad. That was one of my prior podcasts. Go listen to it. And I talk about how these protesters are terrorists themselves. They have taken over the desire, the mission of terrorists. So first I'll talk to you about, oh, and before I get into this, I just want to mention one thing, because just before I started to record this podcast, it was announced, breaking news, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, declared Israel will invade Rafah. He said, quote, there is a date, unquote. So that has to do with the fact that there were peace talks going on, and and Hamas was not really being agreeable to what it was that Netanyahu on behalf of Israel wanted, notably the return of the hostages. And I mean, that would be the only way that, and also to continue to, for Israel to continue to weed out, to destroy Hamas. So needless to say, Hamas didn't want to agree to those things. And here we are. But I'll talk about that in the third segment of the show. But I just wanted to, in case you hadn't heard, I wanted to let you know that new development. But let's get back to terrorist envy. Okay. Now, a good example of terrorist envy just happened. I mean, we've been seeing it all along with these protesters in America and all over, actually all over the world, since October 7th, when Hamas invaded Israel and conducted a barbaric attack, killing Israelis, mutilating them, cutting off their organs so that they could use them later in hostage negotiations to trade, like to trade a breast for I don't know what. And setting fire to their homes in southern Israel, in the kibbutzim, all of these horrible, horrible things that, of course, Hamas would like you to believe didn't happen, but we have proof that they happened. Not only the videos and the photos and all of that, but actually real life accounts from Hamas prisoners, people who have been taken prisoner in Israel who were part of these Hamas terrorists who were attacking. Okay, so getting back to terrorist envy. So a recent example of this is what just happened in Michigan's Dearborn, Michigan, which has been called America's jihad capital because they have a huge percentage of Muslims. It's the largest Muslim population in the US per capita, as well as the largest mosque in North America is there. It's 54% Arab American. Not to say that all Arabs or all Muslims are terrorists, or that all terrorists are Muslim. However, Dearborn, Michigan has been the most active in terms of these protesters. And not just, it didn't just start after October 7th. This has been a situation in that city for a long time now. They are very much pro the squad in Congress, and they are basically pro jihad. So a large, not everyone in Dearborn, but a large percentage of the people, a large number, a vocal number. So there was a holiday recently, Al-Quds Day, which is an annual holiday, the last Friday of Ramadan, which ends April 9th. And so last Friday was last Friday. So they had every time on Al-Quds Day, it's a pro-Palestinian holiday. And it's a time when they call out their support for Palestine and oppose Israel. So on this particular Al-Quds Day in Dearborn, Michigan, the Muslim protesters were chanting, "Death to America, death to Israel." Now, as you know, Iran has been saying, "Death to America, death to Israel," for ages. And presumably so have those in Dearborn, Michigan. At least death to Israel. But the new part, I don't think that they have done this before. The death to America is what's new. And this is the part that should get the attention of our Homeland Security, because they are not making any not hiding it anymore. They're not trying to hide the fact that really they want to destroy America, not just Israel, which is exactly what terrorists want to do, not just Hamas, but all, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, all variations of terrorists have say the same thing, want the same thing. Global jihad, destroying Israel first, Jews, and America, and the world to have global jihad. Okay, so they were having this huge protest, and they were siding with, of course, with Palestine. And they had they one of the their leaders spoke to the group at first, and he said, "It's not just Genocide Joe that has to go." That's been one of their chants. Genocide Joe has got to go. He said, "It's the entire system that has to go." He's talking about America. All of America has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth. So when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant "Death to Israel" has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today. And so, of course, they all repeated him. You know, they did this whole protest, repeating all the chants. And so, this leader explained that the rallies have become so anti-American because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities. I mean, first of all, that's not true. Second of all, it's Obama, who is the puppeteer pulling the strings of Biden, who has dementia, that is leading the country. But in terms of the atrocities, I mean, excuse me, how dare he? The atrocities are the ones that were committed by Hamas on October 7th and many other years, and 9/11 and everything else. 9/11 was not Hamas, but it was Al-Qaeda. They're talking about the atrocity. They're talking about America supporting Israel's retaliation on Gaza, and basically it's not true. But then again, everything pretty much that Hamas is saying is not true. It's just that the mainstream media tends to believe it. Okay, so that is pretty much it's a hotbed of hate in that city. And there are rallies, there are sermons from the imams supporting Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, supporting being anti-Israel, and all of that. Okay, so there we have, but it's so this is just the latest example of terrorist envy. But I'm using this term to refer to all the protesters, the pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas protesters. All over the world. And again, not just Hamas, all the terrorist organizations. Now, why this is so particularly relevant at this point is that the son of the Hamas founder, who I have talked about before, he ha defected. His name is Mossab Hassan Youssef. He is the son of the Hamas co-founder, Sheikh Hassan Youssef. Now, he has spoken out. I've talked about it in previous podcasts. He has spoken out to say, to tell people that Hamas, just like all the other terrorists, want global jihad. And that, that Americans are stupid, basically, for thinking that. That's not what Hamas is after. Not just Americans, but anyone who doesn't realize that Hamas and other terrorists are after global jihad don't are ignorant of what they of ignorant of terrorists, of what terrorism is. So he has started talking about the pro-Palestine student activists, and he said that he calls them useful idiots. And he implies that other terrorists use the same terms. So he comes from Ramallah, and he fought as a Palestinian militant before he defected to Israel in 1997. He worked for Israel as a spy for the Shin Bet intelligence wing for a while. He said, quote, "It's very disappointing to see Americans supporting Hamas and thinking that Hamas is a cool thing, while those followers don't know that Hamas would torture them and massacre them with no mercy. They call them useful idiots. They don't know that Hamas is a dark black hole." So these students and other protesters, I mean, he's making fun of them basically for their ignorance. They don't know what he said. They don't know what they're supporting. Those on the pro-Palestinian side, quote, don't know what they're supporting. He calls Hamas a monster, quote, a monster that has been hijacking an entire society and endangering the entire Middle East, pushing the world towards a global war. Now, he has been called the Green Prince. He was the subject of a 2014 documentary by that name, and he said that he bases his knowledge on time spent in prison with Hamas leaders, as well, of course, as being raised as the son of a Hamas leader. He said, quote, "I was born there and part of that culture, part of that religion. Some people hear about Hamas or they see an avatar of a Hamas fighter carrying a rifle, a freedom fighter, and they think it's a fancy idea to support such a monster." Now, that's what I was talking about in terms of power, phallic power, the rifles and so on, and all of the weapons that they use, but particularly rifles, particularly things that are shaped like that, represent power. So these students and other protesters think that, these Hamas guys are cool. He said that the students, student protesters were speaking, quote, on the authority of Hamas propaganda. In other words, he's saying that these protesters believe the Hamas propaganda. For example, the numbers that Hamas keeps giving out of people that Israel supposedly killed. They give out these outrageous numbers. There's no proof of that, and the numbers keep changing on the same day. But anyhow, so he's saying that these students are, have like taken over, believed, swallowed the Hamas propaganda. Then he talked about students who wear the Palestinian scarf. And he said, "You don't know what Palestine is, actually. In fact, the keffiyeh that you are wearing is just a statement to show that you really lack the authenticity to represent the case. There is a tribe of Hamas, and there is the tribe of the Islamic Jihad, and each one has different interests, and all of them are conflicted. If they did not have Israel as the common enemy, they would kill each other. This is the reality." I mean, this guy is so important. I mean, if you don't believe me and all my podcasts, please believe him. He knows. In fact, he said, "These pro-Palestine people need to go to a mental asylum," talking about the pro-Palestine activists in America, which is where I got my idea, actually, of coming up with a diagnosis for them. That's how I came up with terrorist envy, the new psychosis. Okay, then let's see. Youssef cautioned that his father and Hamas would not be satisfied with taking territorial Palestine alone. Quote, "They are a religious movement. This is what everybody is afraid to say. If Hamas was a political movement, we could satisfy their political ambition. But Hamas is a religious movement that does not believe in political borders. They want to establish an Islamic state on the rubble of the state of Israel and go on to form global jihad." So please believe him. I mean, he has no reason to lie. And I love his idea of saying they belong in a mental asylum. Okay. I mean, it is true, really. It is true. It's not just for their ideas. Okay, I want to clarify. It's not just you can have ideas, you can protest First Amendment rights and all that kind of good stuff. But they have the religious zeal behind them, just like Hamas, when they invaded and attacked Israel, they were able to do these outrageous things, that these cannibalistic kinds of things that hadn't been done before, or at least not in recent history. And because they were moved, they were provoked, they were doing this with a religious zeal, to make Allah happy and to get rewards in the afterlife, to be a martyr, and all of that. So that is that kind of you that takes away your rational thought when you're operating with this kind of a religious zeal. Okay, well, stay tuned. We will continue, and there's lots more to talk about. In fact, I have so much to talk about that's I don't want to. I try to keep this to an hour, but there's so much. Anyhow, I will see you. Stay tuned in the next for the next segment. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman. Today we're talking about Terrorist Envy, The New Psychosis. And as I described in the first segment, I'm using this to refer to the protesters, the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist protesters. And as I mentioned, I was inspired to come up with a diagnosis for them. As a psychiatrist, you know that I'm a psychiatrist, or maybe I need to remind people at the beginning of that, because no psychiatrists, you know, are doing what I'm doing in terms of terrorism. I was inspired to come up with a DSM. I'm saying that in single quotes. It isn't in the DSM yet. I was inspired to come up with a diagnosis because of the son of Hamas, who has been saying that they belong in an insane asylum, and I totally agree. All right. In this segment, we're going to be talking about the two things that happened since October 7th, the Hamas terrorist invasion of Israel, attack on Israel, horrendous attack. And by the way, you know, it has been proven, I mean, not only by the pictures and videos and so on, but by, oh, I think I mentioned that in the previous segment, but I want to make sure to remind people that it was also from out of the mouths of the captives, the terrorists themselves, who talked about these things. Anyhow, so in this segment, we're going to be talking about two unfortunate events that have happened since October 7th that has turned the world against Israel. And really, because of misinformation that has been given out in mainstream media. The two events are the WCK convoy, which stands for World Central Kitchen, that the IDF attacked, and the second unfortunate incident is the alleged attack on the Iranian consulate. It was not a consulate at all. And the attack, well, I'll explain to you about, let's first, we're going to talk about the attack on the World Central Kitchen. Okay, so first of all, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the head of the IDF, Herzl Halevi, have both apologized for what they're calling a tragic error. Halevi said, quote, "I want to be very clear. The strike was not carried out with the intention of harming World Central Kitchen and aid workers. It was a mistake that followed a misidentification at night during a war in very complex conditions. It shouldn't have happened." Now, most media reports about this have omitted the fact that it was at night and have omitted details that I'm going to tell you now. Israel, I hope you know, well, I've been talking about this in previous podcasts. I gave a description of what Israel has done since October 7th to try to make sure that the people in Gaza would leave Gaza so that they wouldn't get attacked. They wouldn't get any of the weapons rained upon them from Israel. They let pamphlets drop. They did all kinds of things. So Israel does not deliberately attack civilians, much less foreigners who are helping to bring humanitarian aid. This is really a preposterous, you know, anybody who says that, first of all, does not know Israelis, Jews. This is not the kind of thing that that Jews do, almost to a fault. And this is why they're so good-hearted. And yes, let me, in case you haven't heard prior podcasts, I am Jewish, Dr. Carol Lieberman, you might have guessed that. And not only am I Jewish, but I have gone to temple school, you know, Sunday school. I was confirmed, which is kind of like bas mitzvah, but it means when you are being graduated from going to school where you learn about religion. That this was in addition to regular school, of course. So I am very well steeped in Jewish history and culture in Israel and all of that. But world leaders jumped on this, piled on top of this, this attack on the World Central Kitchen to, blame Israel and say that Israel purposely attacked this convoy, which is what is not true. And ignored the leaders' apologies and so on. So let me tell you what really happened. What happened is that an IDF drone detected a convoy of three vehicles as it had just started out. It was pitch black conditions, and it then the drone then detected the figure of a man who got up on the first vehicle and fired a shot into the air. Now, this is what Hamas operatives are known to do to signal the start of a mission. Now, in the darkness, the drone couldn't make out the WCK logo. It was the size of a dinner plate, and it was on top of the roof of only one of the three vehicles. So the drone's infrared camera couldn't detect the logo. I mean, if they would have seen that it was WCK, they wouldn't have attacked it. If for no other reason than they would have known that the world would be, coming down on them. So it just does not make sense. Israel would not have wanted the reaction that there was, or to cause the reaction that there was. So now the IDF is going to try to require all aid vehicles to use a sticker that can be identified by infrared cameras. But this is kind of a this is not a plan that, I mean, there can be this is not there can be mistakes with this plan too, because obviously the terrorists can put these kinds of stickers on their trucks in order to try to avoid detection by Israel. So it's not exactly a solution. Anyway, the second unfortunate event that happened after October 7th to turn the world against them, or in this case in particular, to turn Iran against them, was the attack on the Iranian, what Iran is calling their consulate. They attacked a building in Damascus, Syria, on April 1st. They bombed a building that was next to the Iranian embassy in Damascus. They didn't bomb the Iranian embassy. But when they bombed this building, they killed 11 people, including no civilians, but seven senior members of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards. And including two generals, in addition to General Mohammad Reza Zahidi, who was the leader of the Quds Force, the Quds Force for Palestine, Syria, and Lebanon. No civilians were killed, but Iranians have raised holy hell, and of course they're saying, "We're going to get back at you. Look what you did," etc., etc. Now, of course, they're kind of pissed that they took out the Iranian mastermind of October 7th. Yes, that's understandable. But that, I mean, it's not really a surprise. Well, it's kind of a surprise that they had the chutzpah to go into Syria and do that. But certainly it's not a surprise that they would want to take out the mastermind of this incredibly horrible attack. So Iran is claiming that they hit the consulate, and they're claiming that therefore that this it was a violation of international law. But it isn't. It is legal, in fact, because they they people media people have looked into this. Everyone wants to do, people who wanted to blame Israel did research on this. And in fact, it was legal under international law because no civilians were killed. And the and it was being used for military purposes. That was the main thing. The people, these generals, all the people who were killed were military. They were plotting attacks on Israel. You know, that is why Israel attacked them, bombed them. They were trying to stop another October 7th. So it was not illegal, according to international law. The building that Israel struck was no longer, if it ever had been, which the IDF doubts, a true consulate, conducting routine consulate affairs like issuing travel visas and passports. They were not doing that. And instead, it was a military off a military headquarters. And but you know that is all true. But it dealt a narcissistic blow to Iran. You know, how dare they? How dare they? You know, a narcissistic blow. Plus, they were not happy that they took out the mastermind of October 7th. You know, in other words, it would have been different if they had killed these generals in a trench, but killing them in this building, you know, had more of an impact, like the optics of it, you know, was really, it dealt a narcissistic blow to Iran. I mean, so much of this whole war, well, I mean, besides, of course, the religious part for the terrorists, but so much of it, other than that, has to do with egos. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next. You know, all of the egos that are involved, Iran, Obama, Biden. Let's see. Now, the Biden administration was saying, you know, B Obama, Biden have been like BFFs of the Iran leaders. I mean, even though Iran is our enemy and they would bomb us in a heartbeat with nuclear weapons if they could, if they had them developed well enough, in a heartbeat. We know they want to destroy Israel that way, but America too. However, and I have to keep saying this. I mean, I've been saying this a lot in my recent podcasts to remind people, because this is really what is behind the whole thing. Obama, you know, we know Obama pulls the strings of Biden. Biden has dementia. I've been saying that since he ran from his basement in 2020. And Obama was trained in madrasas when he was a little boy, madrasas that teach the worst enemy is Israel. You will the holiest thing that you can do is destroy Israel and destroy the West and destroy Jews. And Obama, it has sunk into Obama's little head when he was a little boy, and it is still very much there. If you think about it for yourself, you know, maybe you don't remember the exact things that you learned exactly when, but surely you could remember, for example, some things that you learned in elementary school. And I'm not talking about math or things that you learned from your parents or things that you learned from your friends, experiences that you had that taught you something, something good, something bad. But it stays with you, the feelings behind it. So in other words, the ideas behind it. The idea that Israel has to be destroyed, the idea that infidels, people who don't believe in radical Islam, have to be destroyed, not just Jews, but anybody who doesn't believe in radical Islam. These are things that are bred into the little children who are in the madrasas. They even have pretend they play games where they cover, you know, they carry guns. And they do all kinds of attacks on Israel and all of that. So Obama had to have been involved in that, even though he tries to deny that the madrasa that he went to did those kinds of things. But that's baloney. So anyhow, so I got carried away with that. What was I trying to say? Okay, so So Iran, by saying that this head, the mastermind of October 7th, by Iran saying that they're furious and they're going to retaliate for Israel taking out the Iranian mastermind of October 7th, that is the closest that Iran has come to admitting that they had anything to do with the October 7th attack. They started by denying it, but we know that Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism. Not just Hamas, they support lots of terrorist organizations that are surrounding Israel. So now the Biden administration is, tried to deny Iran's responsibility for the October 7th attack, but now Iran is basically admitting it. What else? Oh, so now Israel is preparing for Iranian retaliation. By that I mean the IDF, the Israeli Defense Squad Fund Force, they are doing things such as canceling all leaves for the IDF forces, for the soldiers, in order to make sure that they have enough people to handle all of the places that they have to fight. All of They're fighting so many different enemies. Then they're halting leave for the troops. They're saying that the worst is yet to come, because of Iran threatening. I mean, obviously Iran is the most powerful of all the enemies. But Israel is actually engaged on in fighting four different enemies. First, Hamas in Gaza. Second, Hezbollah on its northern border with Lebanon. Third, the Houthis in the Red Sea, who have halted shipping in the waterway, which Israel really needs because of its trade. And now, of course, Iran, the most dangerous of all Israel's enemies. So Israel has been in these kinds of situations before, not with these, not obviously not exactly like this, but I mean through history, looking back on history, for example, when the temple was destroyed, and just all kinds of lots of people have tried to attack Israel, have attacked Israel over the centuries, and Israel has come out, has survived, and really, well, I believe that it isn't just because of the strength of their military, I mean, which of course is very strong and smart and all of that. But I believe that God has saved Israel. You don't have to believe that, but you don't have to believe the religious part of it. But that's what I need to tell myself when I go to sleep. I lay down in bed to go to sleep, and all I can think about is Israel being in danger. And so I tell myself, God will protect Israel. All right. Now, in the next segment, I'm going to be talking to you about these egos that I mentioned, all the big players, and things. I mean, it's really sad, things that happen militarily. In history and so on, that have to do with leaders' egos. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, a psychiatrist and your terrorist therapist. I'm just mentioning that again in case, for those of you who don't know yet, that I'm a psychiatrist. Because today's show is called Terrorist Envy, the New Psychosis. And as I described at the beginning, it relates to penis envy that Freud discovered. Freud actually is the reason why I became a psychiatrist. I read his books, his interpretation of dreams in particular, and I just totally connected with it. And it inspired me to become a psychiatrist. And as you will recall, I am using this term, terrorist envy, the new psychosis, to refer to the protesters, the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist of all strikes, stripes and shapes and sizes, who are really terrorizing us all over the world. Okay, so now we're going to be talking about the egos that are involved in this Israeli in this Hamas Israel war, and right now, or as I'm recording this, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has just made a declaration saying Israel will invade Rafah. There is a date. Now, I think what brought him, I mean, this is pretty shocking to a lot of people. How dare he say that? I mean, he's been saying that all along, just like Iran has been saying death to America, death to Israel all along, for years, more probably. I mean, many years. Anyhow, he said this after a meeting had adjourned temporarily. It was supposed to be temporary. There was a meeting in Egypt, in Cairo. Hamas and Israel sent their negotiators to Cairo, and they were joined by mediators from the United States, Egypt, and Qatar. And, or Qatar, however you like to say it. And they were supposed to be working out a peace plan or negotiating some kind of truce. The only problem is that Netanyahu, who really, you know, he is really fighting for Israel as strongly as anyone, any leader could possibly fight. And he's been doing this for years. And when there is a war, his willingness to fight for Israel and his strength, you know, comes out. He is protecting his people at all costs, and you know, personal cost to him, because first of all, there's a lot of you know, well, I'll get into that. The United States is drumming up people to be against him and so on. I'll get to that. But then anyhow, he is really devoted to doing the best for Israel. So the best for Israel is all the hostages that are remaining to be returned. This is especially a powerful point that he wants, because they recently discovered the body of someone who had been kidnapped from Israel on October 7th. The dead body, obviously, the skeleton, basically, of someone who they thought was still alive, in a captive, a hostage. But he was dead. So that kind of made this whole thing of getting the hostages back more urgent. So that was a sticking point for Hamas. Hamas didn't want to give back all the hostages. They, you know, they wanted some still to have some power, some, you know, bargaining chips. And the other thing was that Israel wanted to finish killing off all of Hamas. Now, you might understand why Hamas wouldn't agree to that. But that is what Netanyahu said from the very beginning, because the whole point of retaliation was not only to get back at Hamas for what they did, but also to make sure Hamas can never do that again. And in order to make sure of this, you have to kill them all. That's just the way it is, because they ain't changing their mind, Hamas. You know, they are still very much intent upon destroying Israel. So the only way to prevent that is to destroy Hamas. So there's kind of a point there. There's kind of a, it's hard to go farther in the negotiations. But anyhow, there are four in Rafah. There are four intact battalions of Hamas, and they will interpret any kind of peace plan or whatever is negotiated as a victory for them, because they are the ones, even though they ex have exaggerated the numbers of people in Gaza that Israel has allegedly killed, that if Israel doesn't follow through with what they said they were going to do from the beginning, then Hamas will think of this as a victory, and they will feel that they won the Gaza war. And what do you think they're going to want to do? They're going to want to repeat it, of course. Yes, Hamas has made no secret of the fact that it wants to slaughter Jews and wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Yet it's Israel who's being accused of genocide. Now, that is pretty absurd, but the people who are doing this, these terrorist envy people, are not thinking rationally. They don't care, basically. So Israel is not committing genocide. That's why it has made such efforts to warn civilians away from the areas and so on, as I was talking about earlier. Now, there are two firsts that just happened. One of them, and they are both thanks to the Obama-Biden White House. One first is that rockets from Gaza have been fired at Israel for the first time in months. This is just in April. This just happened. Rockets from Gaza have been fired at Israel for the first time in months. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you, Obama. And then also a first is in America. There are ISIS terrorists in America for the first time, well, terrorists in general for the first time since 9/11. And thanks to Obama and Biden and their border and other things that they did to allow terrorists to come in, bringing in the 80,000 from Afghanistan, for example, who were not really vetted because of the chaos that was happening when he surrendered to Afghanistan to the Taliban, and just all the different policies that have basically, it is due to this surrender in Afghanistan that we're having all these problems right now, including in Israel. Gaza would never have attacked Israel when they did if Obama-Biden hadn't surrendered to the Taliban. So there has been a large barrage of rockets launched from the Gaza Strip towards southern Israel for the first time in months. This was reported on April 6th. And Biden, of course, Obama-Biden are betraying Israel. They're saving Hamas and they're saving Iran. Now, there have been plots, just because you might not have heard about this, but there have been plots. The mainstream media is very quiet about the attacks on Israel. I mean, they reported October 7th, but not in the with a lot of believing a lot of lies from Hamas. But there are attacks that are going on. In my prior podcast about Ramadan, there have been attacks in, well, of course, there was the Moscow attack, and then, but there have been attacks in Israel too, not as large as the Moscow attack. And there were more plots to attack Israel. There was one, well, there were lots that the security forces have foiled. One was an ISIS-linked plot. So it's not just Hamas that Israel has to worry about, but there was an ISIS-linked plot to carry out jihad massacres in Jerusalem. And security forces foiled this plot. It was a plot by three East Jerusalem men who had sworn allegiance to the Islamic State to carry out a terror attack in Jerusalem. And two of the men were plotting to place explosives and carry out a shooting attack on a police station and at Teddy Stadium in Jerusalem. And then they then joined a third person who told them that their planned attack, gave them advice on how to make a better plan attack. And he urged them to go overseas for military training. But these three men were arrested before they could leave the country. So fortunately for that, or there would have been an attack in Jerusalem. Now, it's Obama and Biden have an obsession, a psychological obsession with Benjamin Netanyahu. It's like talk about penis envy. It's they, well, especially Obama, they want to show that they are tougher than Netanyahu. They don't like that he is not listening to them, because what they're suggesting, mainly a ceasefire, they've been suggesting a ceasefire all along since October 7th. And a ceasefire would mean, if Israel agreed to a ceasefire, that would mean that Hamas and its other enemies would have however much time the ceasefire was for to restock their weapons, become rehabilitated or refreshed themselves to go back into battle, just all along get more weapons. Basically they wouldn't stop, wouldn't they didn't wouldn't want a permanent ceasefire, Hamas and other terrorists. So it's basically putting Israel in a weaker place. So the Obama and Biden don't like Netanyahu for many reasons, and I'll give you some of the major ones, besides what I was just saying, that he, isn't listening to them. And they have been, Obama-Biden have been causing people in Israel, sort of getting them stirred up to protest against Netanyahu. But now they don't like Netanyahu for a number of reasons. One reason is Netanyahu does not like the socialist communist vision, World Economic Forum vision of Obama and Biden and leftists in general who are trying to destroy America to create a socialist communist country. And Netanyahu doesn't believe in that. He believes in a democracy. And so in 2015, well, let me start with a different one. In 2011, the there Netanyahu addressed Congress in May 2011, and he congratulated America for killing Osama bin Laden. Now, Obama, although that this happened during Obama's presidency, he was afraid of alienating the Muslim world by this killing of Osama bin Laden happening during his watch. So when Netanyahu went to Congress and congratulated the US for killing Osama bin Laden, that was sort of a sore point for Obama. He didn't want people to let's keep it quiet that we did this, because he didn't want other Muslims to to not like him, not vote for him, not go along with him. Then it, so that was tw 2011. Then in 2015, Netanyahu stood up to Obama. And he put by pushing the Iran nuclear deal past when Obama pushed the Iran nuclear deal past Congress in 2015, Netanyahu stood up to him and told him that and told the world basically that it was not a good idea. This Iran nuclear deal was a very bad idea. And of course, that is true, and it has been proven to be true that it was a bad idea. And although Netanyahu couldn't stop Obama from pushing through this Iran nuclear deal. It helped Trump in 2018 to withdraw from it because Netanyahu's arguments were just common sense. Obviously, you cannot trust to make a deal with Iran, a country leaders who say death to America and death to Israel, but let's just say even death to America. You don't make a deal about nuclear weapons with someone who tells you they want to kill you. I mean, it was absurd. The only reason why you would do that is if you're trying to suck up to Iran leaders, if you have been trained in a madrasa when you were a little boy, like Barack Obama. Also, Netanyahu, more recently, he has stood up to Biden's push for a Palestinian state after October 7th. Now, that's their solution. Anytime there's any kind of violence in the Middle East, they keep bringing they well, yes, Obama and Biden, since Biden's been president in any case, try to have try to tell the Middle East that the solution is a two-state solution. Well, Israel has given in to that before, and it doesn't work. That doesn't stop the terrorists from still wanting to kill them. Nothing would. Okay, now is there are some Israelis who don't like Netanyahu. I happen to like him, but there are some Israelis who don't because he's been in office for a long time, and there are some younger, impatient Israeli leaders who would like to have a chance to run the country. But really, nobody, the truth is, there's nobody who would be as strong, particularly in a situation like they have now, as Netanyahu. And besides, to have an election when they're in the middle of a war is not a great idea. So now the families of Israeli hostages are frustrated because the hostages haven't been returned, and they're claiming that it's Netanyahu's who's blocking the deal, but it isn't. It's Hamas that's who's blocking the deal, and that just happened again just recently now in this current in the current meeting that they had in Egypt. It was Hamas who was standing in the way of the return of the hostages. And then some in Israel, notably the opposition to Netanyahu, they blame him for alienating the US. But that's not true either, because it was Biden who shunned Netanyahu after Biden won the presidency, even though Netanyahu congratulated him in 2020. He didn't. But Biden has always hated Netanyahu. Let's see. So some of this has to do with Netanyahu being sort of the face, the closest target, to his, like, Israelis are frustrated and sad and devastated and traumatized and everything else. And they can't, it's hard for an individual to destroy a terrorist. So Netanyahu is the closest thing, so they blame him. Because the media doesn't listen when you blame the terrorists. Just one last little tidbit here that kind of shows you, in case kind of hammers home some of what I was saying. The Biden, Obama Biden, is doing something or is trying to do something. They're trying to push through something that hadn't happened before, and that is similar to what Nazi Germany did, what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. The Obama Biden regime wants to label goods made by Jews in the West Bank, so that these goods can be boycotted. In other words, they want them to say these goods to say, to say, let's say, they would be clearly labeled as anything produced in the settlements, the Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank. Obama Biden want them to be clearly labeled as coming from there, and so that they can be boycotted. Now, that is such a Nazi thing, kind of restriction to make. So far, it hasn't gone, it hasn't been passed. But this would reverse a policy that was introduced by the Trump administration in 2020 that required goods produced in the West Bank to be labeled as made in Israel. So they would want them to say that the Obama Biden would want them would want these goods to say that they are made in the West Bank, you know, because they're trying to say that that Israel occupies the West Bank and therefore these goods should be boycotted. Anyway, that kind of the fact that they would go this far, Obama Biden, tells you a lot. They are just looking. The bottom line is, and I really just realized that I kind of had an epiphany just the last few days when I was preparing, you know, figuring out what I wanted to talk about today, that it is so obvious when you think about all the different things have been that have been happening that Obama is now coming out of the closet. I actually mentioned that before in a previous podcast, but it is more, ever more so, and I don't mean a gay closet, although that's a whole other subject, but I'm talking about coming out of the closet and showing his hatred for Israel and Jews. And of course, he controls Biden, so they're both doing it. They were kind of sitting on the fence at the beginning after October 7th. They said the appropriate, oh, that's terrible. And now they have gone on to do one thing after another to attack Israel and America. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol Lieberman, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number four, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.